Welcome to episode 1371 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. There is a kind of religion that sounds devout but lives evasively. It speaks holy language, makes solemn declarations, dedicates resources to sacred causes, but it quietly neglects the people standing closest. In the Gospels, Jesus confronts exactly this kind of spirituality, and his words are sharp, not because he is anti-religion, but because he is fiercely protective of integrity. At stake is the fifth commandment.
Honor your father and your mother.
And at stake is something deeper still, whether spiritual language can be used to avoid relational responsibility. In Mark 7, Jesus is addressing Pharisees and teachers of the law, men deeply committed to scripture, ritual purity, and careful observance. These are not secular skeptics. They are religious leaders. And Jesus says something startling.
You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions.
That is a strong accusation. But what exactly is the issue? He points to the command, honor your father and your mother. Then he explains how they have found a loophole. They had developed a practice called Korban. If a person declared their resources Korban, that is, dedicated to God, those resources were considered reserved for sacred use. On the surface, this sounds noble. It seems generous. It carries the weight of something spiritually serious. But here was the problem. Once something was declared Korban, it was no longer available for supporting aging parents. In other words, someone could say, I would help you, Father. I would care for you, Mother. But my resources are dedicated to God. And Jesus says this directly.
By this practice, you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother.
It is possible to use religious devotion to neglect human obligation. And Jesus will not tolerate it. The fifth commandment is foundational. It is the first commandment about human relationships. It establishes a posture of weight, dignity, and responsibility toward those who gave us life. The religious leaders in Mark 7 had not rejected the commandment outright. They had simply found a way to reinterpret it. They had constructed a spiritual category that overrode a relational duty. But Jesus refuses to let devotion compete with obedience. He does not allow sacred language to cancel moral responsibility. Because when spiritual categories become tools of avoidance, faith becomes hollow. Korban is not ancient history. It is a pattern. We create Korban whenever we use spiritual justification to sidestep inconvenient love. We say, I'm too busy serving at church. I'm called to bigger things. My ministry is important. My giving elsewhere is significant. And slowly, quietly, relational obligations are minimized. Jesus exposes the mechanism.
You nullify the word of God by your tradition.
The danger is not that we love God too much. The danger is we claim to love God while refusing to love those nearest to us. And scripture will not allow those two to be separated. The leaders in Mark 7 likely believed they were honoring God. After all, they were dedicating resources to sacred purposes. But devotion that lacks compassion is distorted devotion. This echoes the prophets. In Isaiah 1, God rejects worship that ignores justice. In Jeremiah 7, temple confidence becomes a shield for neglect. God has never accepted worship that bypasses responsibility. Jesus stands firmly in that prophetic tradition. He will not let us believe God is pleased with offerings that cost our parents their dignity. What is striking about Jesus here is he holds compassion and accountability together. On one hand, the fifth commandment protects aging parents. In an ancient world without social safety nets, parental care was not sentimental. It was survival. To neglect parents was to expose them to poverty and vulnerability. On the other hand, Jesus is not attacking generosity to God. He is attacking generosity to God that excuses neglect. The issue is not dedication. It is displacement. Compassion must shape devotion. Accountability must ground piety. When these separate, faith fractures. Human flourishing depends on relational integrity. When we prioritize religious image over relational responsibility, families suffer. When families suffer, communities destabilize. When communities destabilize, society fragments. The fifth commandment is not merely about private virtue. It is about generational continuity. A society where children evade responsibility toward parents becomes unstable quickly. A community where devotion is prized over duty becomes brittle. Flourishing requires weighty relationships, and honoring parents, however imperfect they may be, anchors that weight. The Corban practice was subtle. No one said, "I reject the fifth commandment." Instead, they said, "I have something better." That is how spiritual drift often works. We do not abandon commands. We reinterpret them. We elevate secondary values above primary ones. We convince ourselves our motives are pure. And Jesus, with unnerving clarity, says, "You have a fine way of setting aside the command of God." The heart can deceive itself with religious vocabulary, which is why Jesus cuts through it. At the cross, Jesus models what he commands. In John 19, even while suffering,
"When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother,
'Woman, behold your son.'
Then he said to the disciple,
'Behold your mother.'
And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home."
He ensures his mother is cared for. He does not spiritualize his mission at the expense of relational responsibility. He holds both. He fulfills the Father's will while honoring his earthly mother. Devotion and duty are not competitors in the kingdom of God. They are partners. The broader principle in Mark 7 is this: spiritual language must never excuse relational responsibility. If your prayer life grows but your compassion shrinks, something is wrong. If your giving increases but your relationships deteriorate, something is misaligned. If your devotion to God becomes a shield against caring for those entrusted to you, your devotion has drifted. Jesus exposes this not to shame, but to restore integrity. Honoring parents in our world may look different than in first century Palestine, but the principle remains. It may look like caring for aging parents with patience, refusing to speak contemptuously, providing support when needed, establishing boundaries without dishonor, expressing gratitude even when wounds remain. Honor is not sentimentality. It is weight. It means recognizing the people who gave us life or who cared for us are not disposable, even when they were imperfect, even when relationships are complicated. This commandment becomes hardest when parents have caused harm. Jesus does not call anyone to endure abuse or deny injustice. Honor does not mean enabling sin, but it does mean refusing to dehumanize. It means separating accountability from contempt. It means, where possible, choosing dignity over disdain. And that is no small thing, but it is deeply aligned with the heart of Christ. Jesus' rebuke in Mark 7 is ultimately hopeful. He exposes hypocrisy so faith can be healed. He wants religion that strengthens families, not weakens them. Devotion that fuels compassion, not excuses it. Worship that reflects God's character, faithful, steadfast, responsible. When faith and love align, flourishing follows. When spiritual talk and relational duty converge, integrity grows. And when integrity grows, trust is restored. Where might we be tempted to declare something Corban? Where might we be tempted to prioritize visible devotion over quiet responsibility? Where might we use spiritual language to avoid difficult relational work? These are not easy questions, but they are necessary. Because flourishing does not grow in the soil of evasion. It grows in the soil of faithfulness. Jesus and the fifth commandment remind us of something essential. God does not accept worship that bypasses love. To honor father and mother is to affirm that life is relational at its core. And to use God's name to excuse neglect distorts both devotion and dignity. Spiritual language must never excuse relational responsibility. When we hold compassion and accountability together, faith becomes credible. When we care for those entrusted to us, devotion becomes embodied. And when devotion and duty align, the promise embedded in the fifth commandment becomes visible. Life becomes stable, communities become resilient, and human flourishing becomes possible. Father, guard us from devotion that hides from responsibility. Where we have used spiritual language to avoid relational duty, bring conviction and grace. Teach us to honor faithfully, to love courageously, and to let our worship strengthen the relationships you have entrusted to us. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.